Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all know how much I love that song, right? Yeah, that's Stokely and Snoop Dogg. Yeah, the Snoop Dogg, man, on that song. In fact, we were at T-Mobile the other night, and I kept saying to the guys, you know, they were all talking about these songs. They were playing old songs, you know, that sort of thing. That's cool. And I said, have you ever heard of Vibrant by Snoop Dogg and Stokely? And the guy goes, what? You kidding me? I was like, no, play it, honey. He turned it up. In T-Mobile, and we got down for a minute. And when I say a minute, I'm going to sit my tail down. I'm just telling you, okay? I'm not going to just stand there and dance in front of a bunch of guys because all of them were guys. All of them were guys. So, yeah, you know, I know how to handle that. Just don't say anything. Just let it go. Let it go. We have such a great show lined up for you. I want to get right into it. First of all, I want to support a company that I happened to find out about. I needed my phone. It was so broken down. And I got a new one. It's an old style, but I got a new one. And I'm so grateful that I did. Now, here's the thing. I was told by someone at T-Mobile that, yeah, you know, if you want a case, because it's going to be very difficult for you to find an 11 Pro, that's me, 11 Pro, phone. And so if you want a case, you need to go to Maplewood Mall. And I'm like, Maplewood Mall? And he goes, I can't remember where it's located, except I know it's close to the food court. And let me tell you, that's all I needed to hear. Soon as we walked into Maplewood, it said food court. So we knew we were close. All we did was take a few steps in, and we were there. This place is remarkable. If you have a phone and you can't find a case for it, you have got to go to Accessories and Charms. Accessories and Charms is on the inside of Maplewood Mall. I think it was on the second floor, if I'm not mistaken. And there is so many. I mean, there's nothing but cases. For all the cases that have died, they had a funeral and now they're back in this particular place. Again, it is called Accessories and Charms. If you have a case that is missing for you, it can be found. I didn't think it was possible. Seriously, I almost went and got a, you know, a bigger phone and would change it. But no, I don't need to do that now. So please, if you are looking for it, go to Maplewood Mall around the back. You'll see it to say Maplewood Mall, food court. Go through that door all the way down until you see a bunch of stores and restaurants and take a right and just stay looking to your right and you will find Accessories and Charms. They have the cases for just about every mobile phone. Seriously, it was impressive. So to the women, and they are women, who are making this happen, thank you, because I did not know where to go except Amazon, because that's another thing I was told, is that Amazon, you can find just about every case you want. But here in this place, you can put your hands on it. You can look at it and go, yeah, that's me. I can do that. I love that style. So if you don't have a case, go get you one at Maplewood Mall. All right, we have a great lineup for you tonight. In fact, we have a guest at 7:35. But before we get into that, I do want to talk about sports for a minute. And many of you know that I am not the girl to talk about sports. I am not into sports. You hear my producer, Jonathan Lowe, as well as Chris Tubbs, and they are serious about sports. And sometimes you watch the games and you think, oh, this game is going to be great. And some people are really devastated when it's not great, right? And some of the scores have been really bad. Jonathan, what was that score that was 70-20 or something?
So this afternoon, the Miami Dolphins took on the Denver Broncos.
Yes, they did.
And it was a bloodbath. The Dolphins scored 70 points. Mm-hmm. If I remember seeing this correctly, and I'm going to try to look this up real quick while I'm talking. That was the most points scored by a team in an NFL game since 1966.
You were just born then, weren't you?
No, I wasn't even close. I was not even close to being born at that time.
No kidding.
It was amazing. I watched the NFL Red Zone. I don't usually watch solo games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this channel called the NFL Red Zone. What their purpose is they go back and forth from game to game to game to game, and they try to focus as much as possible on teams that are in the red zone, inside the opponent's 20-yard line, which is getting ready to score. They're on the verge of scoring. And if there aren't teams in the red zone, they'll just still bounce back and forth from game to game. But the focus is trying to get on those red zone hits. And so they went back to Miami-Denver a lot because Miami was scoring a lot.
70
points.
Okay, so a dear friend of mine is in the studio with us tonight. He's my protector. I call him my bodyguard. He's so great. And I'm just curious because he loves sports. I don't love sports. You know this, Jonathan. He knows so much about sports. But even he kind of gasped when he saw 70 on the screen. It was like 70? What?
That's a score you don't see. It's a score you don't see. Again, it hasn't been shown. It hasn't been, I guess, produced for, let's see, 66 is almost 70 years.
70 years.
I'm sorry, no, 60 years. Almost
okay,
60
years.
I'm glad
you're doing the math, dude.
Yeah. sorry, I was...
Okay, let me hear from my bodyguard because he's into the sports, right? And he's always trying to teach me a little bit more about it. Jonathan knows his stuff, as you well know.
Absolutely.
So you saw 70.
I saw 70.
You saw 70, and you didn't know quite what to do with it.
I walked up there, and I looked at a thing. I said, God, that says 70. No, that's not 70-20. And I turned to Jonathan and said, 70? He said, yeah, 70. I'm like.
So if you were there, what would you have done?
Left.
Come on, Jonathan. Would you have done the same? Come on.
That's a long time.
Yeah, there you are.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't have my mic on. that's a long time to sit in the stands, especially in Miami where it's still hot this time of year.
Yeah, but it's Miami.
When it's
probably came to the game in underwear.
I can leave the stadium. I can beat traffic. I can go to the beach and listen to the fourth quarter on the radio, on like a ham radio or something.
Yeah, but remarkable what they did.
I can be in the ocean and say, hey, I'm listening to the Dolphins. I was just there. It was blood. It was great. I'm catching some fish. It's great.
Okay, so what would you say if all of a sudden the team that lost, right, 20 points.
Gave up.
Right, gave up.
Yeah.
Right? So what if they come back and, like, spank some folk? I mean, really?
It's 70.
That's 70-20. I get it. It's 70-20. I get that. But come on. Sometimes a miracle happens.
There are very few teams in the history of the NFL, and we're talking over 100 years of football.
100 years of football.
That have scored 70 points. I believe the record was, I can't remember the year of the championship game, but the Chicago Bears were taking on the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
and I think it was Washington, and the winning team scored 73. So the Dolphins were close to the record.
That's so you really care about this. Do you think they will come back?
Denver?
Yeah, Denver.
They're a professional football team. They have to just throw this away. This was just the worst Sunday they could have thought of, and they have to just start preparing for next week.
I think a lot of people went home cursing tonight. See, curse words were created for a reason. Because curse words.
I'm certain they did, but what the cliche is, you got 24 hours, whether you win or whether you lose. Right. 24 hours to celebrate the victory, 24 hours to lament the loss.
Okay.
And then you got to be on to the next week.
Okay, so what do you think the coach is going to do about those 20 points? The next time they gather together.
Oh, he's going to go off.
He's going to go like scream? Is he going to scream?
He could probably go off.
Because, you know, a lot of these coaches really know how to scream. Maybe they have to let it out or something.
But this is
I don't quite understand
This is professional.
It is professional. You know, it's a big deal where they make the big money. Yep.
70 in college, maybe.
Right.
70 in high school football, which I really like.
Yeah.
My son plays high school football.
Right.
And his team usually gets up there in points, but here nor there.
Did he just try to talk about his son? He did, didn't he?
But this is here nor there. I mean, these are professional athletes who are getting paid big money,
and they
and
should.
Lost by 70.
I know, but
lost by 50.
But even if it's just 50 points, my whole thing is that they are probably taking it very hard. And I know that a lot of people buy these tickets. The tickets are important, and they cost a lot of money. You don't think people will go back and watch them again or come to their games again?
These pros ain't taking it.
Oh, I think they're going to get it.
They're not going to.
What do you say, Johnny?
So, last words. Again, just to reiterate the historic nature of this.
I know.
They are the fourth team
yes,
in NFL history
yes,
to score at least 70 points in a regular season or playoff game. Four. That's it.
That's it.
That's the list.
That's the list.
It's a short list.
I think somebody's going to come back.
Denver will come back. They'll win games.
They always do.
They have a coach that has proven he's a Super Bowl winning coach. He even said today that was embarrassing to watch. He said it after the game. He said that was his quote was, and this is, I'm getting this from CBSSports.com, the postgame story. Obviously, that was embarrassing and tough to watch. Aside from the kick return, and they did have a kick return that was returned for a touchdown, there weren't a lot of positives to take from that game.
Okay. Not a lot of positives.
At all.
Now they get back on their feet.
What if
the next game, which probably won't be against the ones who get.
No, they would only take on Miami a second time if they made the playoffs.
This team
ain't making the playoffs.
Really?
I'm sorry. Denver can rebound and win a couple games. They ain't making the playoffs. No. Not like this.
I agree.
Oh man.
And they even got Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Y'all
are tripped.
So next week, by the way, next week, they can rebound. They take on the Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay.
They're 70 right there.
Yeah. They're taking on Chicago, and Chicago today lost to Kansas City 41-10.
Weren't you proud?
And Patrick Mahomes played the first series of the third quarter and then rested the rest of the game.
I think he's so beautiful. I'm not looking at his check or nothing like that. I really think he's just a beautiful soul.
Well, that's okay. You can talk to his wife about that.
No, I'm not interested in the guy. Trust me. No. I'm just saying that when you see him or hear him speak or the way he handles himself, sometimes I look and go, wow, that's really special.
Well, he was raised in this culture, in the sports culture. His mm-hmm. father, Pat Mahomes, was a major league pitcher. He pitched for the Twins.
Wow. By the way, the Twins. I mean, come on.
They won the division.
They're
in the playoffs. And now they're just awaiting what's going on in the wild card to see who they'll face. So they have another six games to play.
Right.
They host Oakland for three at Target Field Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Right.
And then they end the season in Denver to face the Colorado Rockies next weekend. And then they'll just wait and see who they play.
They wait and see. That's got to be hard to wait to see.
Well, they're right now they're trying to get everything in line. And by that I mean they get their starting pitching aligned so that they have it ready for the playoff series.
Right.
They get people healthy. Carlos Correa and Royce Lewis are on, and Byron, possibly Byron Buxton, all on the injured list, trying to get off of that and get back on the field. So this is actually good that they clinched this early, because sometimes you want to have an edge and you want to clinch later. You want to get that spot late so you can have an edge going in. But sometimes you need to rest, guys, and this is a team that needs a little bit of rest.
A little bit of rest.
They do.
Well, it's impressive. I'm so happy for the Twins. It's been a long time, a long journey. So there you go. All right, you are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. This is what I love to do on a Sunday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. And we have some great guests. Coming up next is the St. Paul Mayor, Melvin Carter. I cannot wait to interview him about this initiative that has started, and I think it's quite remarkable. We'll be back in a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 7:26 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. If you're just joining us, I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do, is be here with you on a Sunday night, period. Thank you so much for being patient with me, wondering how I've been doing, and I'm just doing better, you know, up and down, but doing much better. And I'm so grateful for that and grateful for your prayers and your sentiments. Really appreciate that. There is so much going on in our world right now. It's absolutely surprising to me. It used to be a time when I would come in to WCCO. I've been here 25 years. And it used to be a time I'd come into the studio and I'd say, oh, okay, wow, that happened. Oh, wow, that's incredible. And then after a while, you start to keep reading and keep reading and keep reading. And you say, oh, goodness, it's out of whack. I mean, it's just not working as well as it used to, right? And what I mean by that is that us and our relationships, right, whether it's political or not, maybe it's sports you want to talk about, but people are not getting along as much as they used to. Now, I must say that I did enjoy watching some of the people that were coming from the game, and some were walking really slowly, and others were walking, you know, with their head held high. And I said to myself, okay, I remember when it was the twins. And one man was able to get the hit. You know what I'm talking about, Jonathan, right? One man was able to get the hit and knock it out and win. And I remember saying to the man I was married to, I've got to get downtown Minneapolis.
Was this in 87 or 91?
I think it was 87.
Okay.
I think it was 87 when Kirby Puckett was the only one. They hit it out of the park.
So 87, was it 91 was Kirby Puckett hitting the home run in game six, I believe.
Yeah, but it was only that hit, right? Okay, so
No. There were other hits and okay. runs scored in the game, but he scored it in extra innings. He hit it out in extra innings and won the game on that hit.
I just remember it was Kirby Puckett, and he hit something. It was monster, man. It was just a monster. But
absolutely
what I still remember and that I love about that moment was that I got in my car and I sped down to Minneapolis, and the people didn't care what color you were. They didn't care what your hair was. They didn't care what you were wearing. They didn't care how big or small you were. No one cared. It was just love in that moment. Absolutely beautiful. Were you downtown when that happened?
I wasn't living here.
It didn't matter if you weren't living here.
You should
have got on a bus. You should have just come to Minnesota. You know the game was happening.
I was 11.
Oh.
I couldn't do that.
You were only 11?
Yeah. I was 8 when they won the first. I was about to turn 8 when they won the first World Series. I was about to turn 12 when they won the second one.
Okay.
And okay, I was 500 miles south. I couldn't get on a bus. Come on.
You really brought out your childhood. You wanted to talk about
no,
that?
No. You said, did you come downtown? I'm telling you the reason why I didn't come downtown. I was not of age.
You were 11 years old? Is that what you said?
In 1991, yeah. When they won the series in 91.
Okay, Jonathan. I'm going to try to hold on to that.
Saying.
Okay, yeah. I was just a boy. Dear God, I was just a boy. All right, we got to take a break, everyone, and we'll have weather coming up next. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited because I finally get to interview the mayor of St. Paul, Melvin Carter, someone who I've known since he was a young boy. And he has just been really special to me and my family. How are you, St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter? How are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing really well. I'm looking forward to the conversation today. I already was before you started us off with that good music.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know. So here's the thing. Last week, as you know, marked a milestone in a local neighborhood's comeback story. Anthony Bradford became the first person to become a homeowner by using St. Paul's Inheritance Fund. The program is designed to help residents and descendants of the historic Rondo neighborhood achieve one of the tenets of the American dream. First of all, congratulations, because you've been working on this for a while. Am I correct?
Yes, we've been working on it for, over a year. It's been in concept for a while, really in creation over the past probably year and a half or so, as we've worked with our staff and our Department of Planning and Economic Development to make it a reality. So it's very much a first in the nation type of program, and we're excited about it, super excited for Mr. Bradford.
So tell us more about St. Paul's Inheritance Fund, how difficult it was to get this started. And then now that it has started and you have that first person who has home ownership because of this, tell me what that has been like. It's got to be one of those, oh, my gosh, we were hurrying up, or, oh, my gosh, look at what we did. And, oh, my gosh, we got so much more to do.
It really is all of the above. It's a dream come true. You know, there are a few pinch me moments in this work for me. And this, you know, that certainly was one of those, being able to celebrate that with him, seeing the staff, how excited and how proud they were of just being able, how grateful they were of being able to be a part of this story is really meaningful. You know, the story well, Geraldine. You know, we all drive I-94 and we take it for granted, and we forget sometimes that, not too long ago, just one generation ago, those were people's homes. That was a neighborhood. And in fact, over 700 homes were taken to build that freeway. There's a study that shows that in today's dollars, approximately $157 million in wealth that was stripped from St. Paul's African-American community as a result of that. We've been talking about how bad that is and how much we regret that for a couple of decades now. We've heard public apologies. But, you know, if you take $157 million, you got to say more than sorry. You got to start putting that inheritance back in place. And that's what the Inheritance Fund is about.
Well, this is remarkable because just one person in the Rondo area being able to get this home and talk about it and say, look what happened with this Inheritance Fund. That in itself can bring tears to my eyes because it's moving forward. So how many years was it before this started?
Well, the families were moved out of Rondo in the late 50s.
Oh, no, I know. No, the question I'm asking, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think we started kind of ruminating around this about summer of 2020. And obviously, we've had a lot going on since summer of 2020. Fortunately, we've got a still relatively new director of our planning and economic development department, whose name is Nicole Goodman. She came in, and literally on her day one, she sort of pitched something like this to me and asked me what I thought about it. And we said, yes, let's build it. When in, I think about last January, saying, all right, let's actually make this a reality. I proposed it publicly in August of last year. The city council gave us the funding and gave us the go-ahead in January. And so from January to June, our staff kind of put together the rules, publicized an application, started vetting candidates, and started getting the dollars out. Mr. Bradford is the first to close on a home, but one of the things we want people to know as well is if you already own a home, you can access up to $85,000 in fully forgivable funds to renovate an existing home, or up to $110,000 in fully forgivable funds to purchase a new home. So we've had a handful of families who have done the home renovation through the inheritance fund now as well. So we couldn't be more excited about it, Jerilyn.
It's amazing what is happening here in Rondo. By the way, the big thing for me is that there have been generations now since all of this was going on, right?
That's right.
And we're looking at those that are left, right? Saying to them, okay, you work really hard and make sure that we can get you, you know, into this St. Paul Inheritance Fund. If that is the case, do you have all of the information about those whose families really lost everything? And if so, are you looking to them saying, do you want to be a part of this?
Yeah, we certainly are. And the goal is for, you know, if the person who wasn't, you know, that's why we call it the inheritance fund. You know, my grandparents owned a half a dozen or so commercial properties on Old Rondo. I would have stood to inherit not just the bricks and mortar, but the wealth that those properties represented had it not been for I-94. So the goal is to pick back up where those descendants are concerned. Yes, there's, of course, property records for who the state bought those funds from, who the preceding property owner was before the property was taken, that can help do that. And there's a lot of community wisdom as well. So we've got great partners. For example, the Rondo Land Trust works with us to help verify descendancy, if there's any question. And so the goal is to make it as permissive as possible, while making sure that the funds actually do go to the families and to the descendants of those people who actually have properties taken.
Did you have a quiet, shout at church, or did you, you know, cry and be uplifted by this moment? I can only imagine what this feels like for you, especially considering that you are one of the sons of Rondo area, and that you've championed the Inheritance Fund program to return wealth and home ownership to low-income families affected by I-94 freeway project. I want to know how you feel about this. What did you do? Did you jump? Did you scream? Did you cry? Did you hug everyone that you know and love?
Probably some of all of the above at different points in time during the process. You're right. I'm a descendant of Old Rondo. I've been hearing these stories all my life, and not just the stories, but the generational trauma that's caused by the city, by our government units, by our government entities being involved in stripping people's homes, stripping people's wealth. My father tells a story of remembering seeing the St. Paul Fire Department burn down his parents' home as a training exercise after they were moved out. So when we look at the generations of what we see, when we look at the unrest that we saw after the murder of George Floyd, you know, I'm convinced that that wasn't just about police violence. That was about systemic violence and all the ways in which these systems that we pay into that are supposed to be helping us raise our children feel like they end up having their knee on our neck. And so we end up fighting against these legacies. Much of my work is fighting against these legacies that have historically told communities of color, that have historically told low-income Americans, you shouldn't trust government because look at all this evidence that exists that says you're not really who we're here to serve. So our excitement is, one, helping Mr. Bradford and helping so many other folks build that generational wealth. But even more importantly you know, I think our excitement is the trust that we can build in government and the opportunity that we can have to really serve people, really lift communities, and really do what democracy was supposed to be envisioned to do in the first place, because people give us the license through the confidence and trust that we're building.
I'm so glad that you are the St. Paul mayor. I just want you to know you sound like a preacher, and it just blows my mind because I've known you since you were very young. Let's talk a little bit about the budget.
You knew me since I was a kid in church,
okay.
So that's probably no
okay.
surprise.
Exactly. So it says here, with a budget of more than $2.6 million available for the down payment assistance program, more than 500 applicants, including Bradford, filed paperwork for grants. Now, my question is $2.6 million is going to go quickly. Am I correct?
It's going to go really quickly. And the goal has always been to run out of money. We, you know, ended up this spring having to sort of pause the application process and tell folks we can't accept any more applications right now, because we already know that the applications that we have in are likely to, you know, the applications we have in already are likely to fully subscribe all the funding that we have against it. Our goal has always been to run out of money, because that means we're helping people, and then that'll give us an opportunity to go back to the city council and say, hey, look, here's a program that's working. Here's a program that's exciting for us. That's really compelling our community members to come forward. And I'll tell you that I don't take two things that we take as an enormous compliment. One is the fact that, you know, we created a resource and the line is full and people are rushing to it. It means people see the work that we're doing in City Hall as relevant to their lives. The second piece is this, and you know our body of work. We've started the College Savings Accounts Initiative to start every child born in our city with $50 in a college savings account. We've done piloted guaranteed income programs in St. Paul. We've done a whole lot of things. And every now and then, our staff will call somebody and say, hey, listen, we launched a child college savings account for your child, or, you know, we want to sign you up for 2 years' worth of $5,500 checks, no questions asked, as we study what the impacts are on poverty that we can make through a guaranteed income, some type of approach. And every now and then somebody looks and says, wait a minute, this has to be a scam. And we honestly carry that as a badge of honor, because it makes us feel like, oh, we're doing what we said we were going to do. We came into this experiment and said, we're going to reimagine the way City Hall can be relevant in people's lives. And we're going to live beyond the boundaries, beyond the traditional outlines of what we're used to, because we know that doing something different is the only way we can expect different results. And so when people look and say, wait a minute, this seems too good to be true, what are you doing? It makes us feel like we must have gone beyond the boundaries of what people expect from a city.
And once they get a home, once they are able to be in it, how much time do they have? It's theirs. They don't have to worry if they all of a sudden don't have the money to pay the rent, not the rent, but the mortgage. Is that being considered, and you would find other funds?
Well, again, the goal. So the goal is to facilitate wealth creation, and what you just asked is one of the most important questions. Because when we saw the foreclosure crisis 15 years ago or so, I think what ended up happening leading up to that is there were a whole lot of people trying to figure out how to get people's name on a mortgage. But what we've learned is getting somebody's name on a mortgage and facilitating wealth creation through home ownership really are two different things. And so, first of all, Mr. Bradford, in order to qualify this for this, had to demonstrate that he would be able to maintain that mortgage. He had to demonstrate that. He took first-time home buyer classes, et cetera, and did some of those things to be able to demonstrate that he was ready to maintain that mortgage. Should something happen, one, he bought a home, and this has been publicized, I think, for $225,000 or $229,000, something like that, and the city put up $90,000 against that purchase. So he has wealth to fall back on. He has equity to fall back on should something happen. That's really important for us. And then the other piece for us is to say, we've actually changed, and this is one of these kind of nerdy but important changes. We changed the criteria for the forgiveness of those dollars. Historically, the city's forgivable funds, and then to purchase a home, says it's forgivable over 30 years. So if you sell that home after 25 years, or if you move out after 25 years, you still owe that money back to the city. Again, that's not facilitating wealth creation. So we cut that in half and said, listen, we're going to amortize it over 15 years, and every single year, 1/15 of the funds will be forgiven. So if he moves out after 5 years, then obviously he's got one-third of that original subsidy is his in the form of equity in the home. So the entire goal is to facilitate equity, to facilitate people getting on their feet financially and really becoming self-sustainable. And we see that equity, the ability to move into that home on day one with significant equity in that space, as a real cushion in the same as it is for millions of other Americans, finally having that cushion of equity for African-American families as well, I think will be key.
I cannot tell you how grateful I am of what you have put together. And it's here. It's actually, it's begun. That's amazing.
It's
so how do you build build up yourself? You know, it takes all of us to really have someone that pours back into us that joy, that happiness, and the great ideas. You have so many great ideas, but who do you go to? Who is the person or people who lifts you up during difficult time?
You might hear it, you know, it's Sunday night, so I just had a 3-year-old walk in the room. And so you might hear some of my lift uppers as we chat. But in knowing me, you also know my family. You know, I have an incredible family between my wife and our children, my parents, you know, and my sisters and, you know, extended family.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited because I finally get to interview the mayor of St. Paul, Melvin Carter, someone who I've known since he was a young boy. And he has just been really special to me and my family. How are you, St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter? How are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing really well, and I'm looking forward to the conversation today. I already was before you started us off with that good music.
Yeah, exactly right, you know. So here's the thing. Last week, as you know, marked a milestone in a local neighborhood's comeback story. Anthony Bradford became the first person to become a homeowner by using St. Paul's Inheritance Fund. The program is designed to help residents and descendants of the historic Rondo neighborhood achieve one of the tenets of the American dream. First of all, congratulations, because you've been working on this for a while. Am I correct?
Yes, we've been working on it for, over a year. It's been in concept for a while, really in creation over the past probably year and a half or so, as we've worked with our staff and our Department of Planning and Economic Development to make it a reality. So It's very much a first in the nation type of program, and we're excited about it. Super excited for Mr. Bradford.
So tell us more about St. Paul's Inheritance Fund, how difficult it was to get this started. And then now that it has started and you have that first person who has home ownership because of this, tell me what that has been like. It's got to be one of those, oh my gosh, we were hurrying up, or oh my gosh, look at what we did. And oh my gosh, we got so much more to do.
It really is all of the above. It's a dream come true. You know, there are a few pinch me moments in this work for me. And this, you know, that certainly was one of those, being able to celebrate that with him, seeing the staff, how excited and how proud they were of just being able, how grateful they were of being able to be a part of this story is really meaningful. You know, the story well, Geraldine. You know, we all drive I-94 and we take it for granted, and we forget sometimes that, not too long ago, just one generation ago, those were people's homes. That was a neighborhood. And in fact, over 700 homes were taken to build that freeway. There's a study that shows in today's dollars, approximately $157 million in wealth that was stripped from St. Paul's African-American community as a result of that. We've been talking about how bad that is and how much we regret that for a couple of decades now. We've heard public apologies. But, you know, if you take $157 million, you got to say more than sorry. You got to start putting that inheritance back in place. And that's what the Inheritance Fund is about.
Well, this is remarkable, because just one person in the Rondo area being able to get this home and talk about it and say, look what happened with this Inheritance Fund. That in itself can bring tears to my eyes, because it's moving forward. So how many years was it before this started?
Well, the families were moved out of Rondo in the late 50s.
Oh, no, I know. No. The question I'm asking, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I think we started kind of ruminating around this in about summer of 2020. And obviously we've had a lot going on since summer of 2020. Fortunately, we've got a still relatively new director of our planning and economic development department, whose name is Nicole Goodman. She came in, and literally on her day one, she sort of pitched something like this to me and asked me what I thought about it. And we said, yes, let's build it. Went in, I think about last January, saying, all right, let's actually make this a reality. I proposed it publicly in August of last year. The city council gave us the funding and gave us the go ahead in January. And so from January to June, our staff kind of put together the rules, publicized an application, started vetting candidates, and started getting the dollars out. Mr. Bradford is the first to close on a home. But one of the things we want people to know as well is, if you already own a home, you can access up to $85,000 in fully forgivable funds to renovate an existing home, or up to $110,000 in fully forgivable funds to purchase a new home. So we've had a handful of families who have done the home renovation through the Inheritance Fund now as well. So we couldn't be more excited about it, Geraldine.
It's amazing what is happening here in Rondo. By the way, the big thing for me is that there have been generations now since all of this was going on, right?
That's right.
And we're looking at those that are left, right? Saying to them, okay, you work really hard and make sure that we can get you, you know, into this St. Paul Inheritance Fund. If that is the case, do you have all of the information about those whose families really lost everything? And if so, are you looking to them saying, do you want to be a part of this?
Yeah, we certainly are. And the goal is for, you know, if the person who wasn't, you know, that's why we call it the Inheritance Fund. You know, my grandparents owned a half a dozen or so commercial properties on Old Rondo. I would have stood to inherit not just the bricks and mortar, but the wealth that those properties represented had it not been for I-94. So the goal is to pick back up where those descendants are concerned. Yes, there's, of course, property records for who the state bought those funds from, who the preceding property owner was before the property was taken, that can help do that. And there's a lot of community wisdom as well. So we've got great partners. For example, the Rondo Land Trust works with us to help verify descendancy, if there's any question. And so the goal is to make it as permissive as possible, while making sure that the funds actually do go to the families and to the descendants of those people who actually have properties taken.
Did you have a quiet, shout at church, or did you, you know, cry and be uplifted by this moment? I can only imagine what this feels like for you, especially considering that you are one of the sons of Rondo area, and that you've championed the Inheritance Fund program to return wealth and home ownership to low-income families affected by I-94 freeway project. I want to know how you feel about this. What did you do? Did you jump? Did you scream? Did you cry? Did you hug everyone that you know and love?
Probably some of all of the above at different points in time during the process. You're right. I'm a descendant of old Rondo. I've been hearing these stories all my life. And not just the stories, but the generational trauma that's caused by, you know, by the city, by our government units, by our government entities being involved in stripping people's homes, stripping people's wealth. My father tells a story of remembering seeing the St. Paul Fire Department burn down his parents' home as a training exercise after they were moved out. So when we look at the generations of what we see, when we look at the unrest that we saw after the murder of George Floyd, you know, I'm convinced that that wasn't just about police violence. That was about systemic violence and all the ways in which these systems that we pay into that are supposed to be helping us raise our children feel like they end up having their knee on our neck. And so we end up fighting against these legacies. Much of my work is fighting against these legacies that have historically told communities of color, that have historically told low-income Americans, you shouldn't trust government because look at all these all this evidence that exists that says you're not really who we're here to serve. So our excitement is, one, helping Mr. Bradford and helping so many other folks build that generational wealth. But even more importantly, you know, I think our excitement is the trust that we can build in government and the opportunity that we can have to really serve people, really lift communities, and really do what democracy was supposed to be envisioned to do in the first place, because people give us the license through the confidence and trust that we're building.
I'm so glad that you are the St. Paul mayor. I just want you to know you sound like a preacher, and it just blows my mind because I've known you since you were very young. Let's talk a little bit about the budget.
You knew me since I was a kid in church,
okay.
So that's probably
okay.
No surprise.
Exactly. So it says here, with a budget of more than $2.6 million available for the down payment assistance program, more than 500 applicants, including Bradford, filed paperwork for grants. Now, my question is $2.6 million is going to go quickly. Am I correct?
It's going to go really quickly. And the goal has always been to run out of money. We, you know, ended up this spring having to sort of pause the application process and tell folks we can't accept any more applications right now because we already know that the applications that we have in are likely to, you know, the applications we have in already are likely to fully subscribe all the funding that we have against it. Our goal has always been to run out of money because that means we're helping people. And then that'll give us an opportunity to go back to the city council and say, hey, look, here's a program that's working. Here's a program that's exciting for us. That's really compelling our community members to come forward. And I'll tell you that I don't take two things that we take as an enormous compliment. One is the fact that, you know, we created a resource and the line is full and people are rushing to it. It means people see the work that we're doing in City Hall as relevant to their lives. The second piece is this, and you know our body of work. We've started the College Savings Accounts Initiative to start every child born in our city with $50 in a college savings account. We've done piloted guaranteed income programs in St. Paul. We've done a whole lot of things. And every now and then, our staff will call somebody and say, hey, listen, we launched a child college savings account for your child, or, you know, we want to sign you up for 2 years' worth of $5,500 checks, no questions asked, as we study what the impacts are on poverty that we can make through a guaranteed income, some type of approach. And every now and then somebody looks and says, wait a minute, this has to be a scam. And we honestly carry that as a badge of honor because it makes us feel like, oh, we're doing what we said we were going to do. We came into this experiment and said, we're going to reimagine the way City Hall can be relevant in people's lives. And we're going to live beyond the boundaries, beyond the traditional outlines of what we're used to, because we know that doing something different is the only way we can expect different results. And so when people look and say, wait a minute, this seems too good to be true. What are you doing? It makes us feel like we must have gone beyond the boundaries of what people expect from a city.
And once they get a home, once they are able to be in it, how much time do they have? It's theirs. They don't have to worry if they all of a sudden don't have the money to pay the rent, not the rent, but the mortgage. Is that being considered, and you would find other funds?
Well, again, the goal. So the goal is to facilitate wealth creation. And what you just asked is one of the most important questions, because when we saw the foreclosure crisis 15 years ago or so, I think what ended up happening leading up to that is there were a whole lot of people trying to figure out how to get people's name on a mortgage. But what we've learned is getting somebody's name on a mortgage and facilitating wealth creation through home ownership really are two different things. And so, first of all, Mr. Bradford, in order to qualify this for this, had to demonstrate that he would be able to maintain that mortgage. He had to demonstrate that. He took first-time home buyer classes, et cetera, and did some of those things to be able to demonstrate that he was ready to maintain that mortgage. Should something happen, one, he bought a home, and this has been publicized, I think, for $225,000 or $229,000, something like that, and the city put up $90,000 against that purchase. So he has wealth to fall back on. He has equity to fall back on should something happen. That's really important for us. And then the other piece for us is to say we've actually changed, and this is one of these kind of nerdy but important changes. We changed the criteria for the forgiveness of those dollars. Historically, the city's forgivable funds and then to purchase a home says it's forgivable over 30 years. So if you sell that home after 25 years or if you move out after 25 years, you still owe that money back to the city. Again, that's not facilitating wealth creation. So we cut that in half and said, listen, we're going to amortize it over 15 years. And every single year, 1/15 of the funds will be forgiven. So if he moves out after 5 years, then obviously he's got one third of that original subsidy is his in the form of equity in the home. So the entire goal is to facilitate equity, to facilitate people getting on their feet financially and really becoming self-sustainable. And we see that equity, the ability to move into that home on day one with significant equity in that space as a real cushion, in the same as it is for millions of other Americans. Finally having that cushion of equity for African-American families as well, I think will be key.
I cannot tell you how grateful I am of what you have put together, and it's here. It's begun. That's amazing.
It's
so how do you build up yourself? You know, it takes all of us to really have someone that pours back into us that joy, that happiness, and the great ideas. You have so many great ideas, but who do you go to? Who is the person or people who lifts you up during difficult time?
You might hear it, you know, it's Sunday night, so I just had a 3-year-old walk in the room. And so you might hear some of my lift uppers as we chat. But in knowing me, you also know my family. You know, I have an incredible family between my wife and our children, my parents, you know, and my sisters and, you know, extended family. We have an incredible kind of family support that sort of, you know, my friends always joke that we were in training to be public leaders from birth. And then I'll tell you, I get a chance to work with and to just see and to learn from some of the most incredible crew of city staff I've ever seen in my life. And so, you know, when we talk about the Inheritance Fund, you know, this is, me getting a chance to give speeches and do interviews about some really hard pencil sharpening work that our housing director and our planning and economic developer director and some of our other housing team staff, like, really, really got to work and did. And so I'm really, really blessed every single day to be able to be surrounded by people who are experts in their field, who understand this city and the dynamics of the city, like, and who are incredibly committed to just making us, our community, a little bit stronger and a little bit better. We wouldn't be able to do all this if it wasn't for the incredible staff we get to work with.
Well, sir, I wish I had more time with you, but Mayor Melvin Carter of St. Paul. Yes, go right ahead.
Let me tell you one more thing. You started this with Kirk Franklin. You asked me about, you know, what if I, you know, shouted at church or something. And I'll tell you this. I'm also really honored and blessed because there's probably not a week that passes that some auntie or somebody's grandma or somebody at the coffee shop or at the barber shop or at the grocery store looks at me and says, you know, I appreciate what you're doing and I'm praying for you. And I appreciate that so much. And it means so much to me. And as you say, kind of, where do I get that energy? I'll also say, you know, it's a privilege to be able to be doing the type of work that we're doing, to be able to be, I think, doing it in such a unique fashion as we're doing it, and to be surrounded by community members who not only support it, but who, you know, who give me strength. And it's a blessing to be able to serve in this role and really never feel like I'm isolated or by myself.
Well, you matter, sir. What you do, it matters. So keep going. I am so proud of you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mayor Melvin Carter of St. Paul. It has been a pleasure, sir, and I do hope that we will get a chance to talk about it more in the future.
That's right. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we got to take a break. I'm trying to hold back the tears of joy. All right, welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. This is Steele Talking. And I have to tell you, even though we are ending this particular hour and then going into another hour, it's really remarkable the stories that we are hearing flow through our great state. And I really encourage those who need to know, please pray, think about those that are hurting, and maybe do something about it. I look forward to being with you in the next few minutes, so stay tuned. All right, welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. This is Steele Talking. And I have to tell you, even though we are ending this particular hour and then going into another hour, it's really remarkable the stories that we are hearing flow through our great state. And I really encourage those who need to know, please pray, think about those that are hurting, and maybe do something about it. I look forward to being with you in the next few minutes, so stay tuned.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.